I will return back that with the issue of location of DSA to the department. I think in our last meeting, when we were reporting the issue around the CEO, we did indicate the fact that part of the problems or the cases around him was the fact that he signed the contract for the new offices in Midrand without the approval of the board. And whilst he had done that, we were paying more than what we were paying in our previous offices. And since we moved in that building, we had three break-ins and we lost a lot of documents and computers and a lot of other stuff. In our discussion with the department, we then reached an agreement that we move to the department for now and sort out all the problems around our problems in Midrand. We are now at the department. We negotiated with the owners of the building that we move away, cancel the contract without any extra payments. Per month, we would be saving a lot of money as compared to what we're paying in Midland. Still not having enough space because we still didn't have a storeroom and a whole lot of other things. So temporarily now we are at the department, but there are a lot of benefits in our movement with the fact that we are understaffed, and we were actually also using staff members from the department. Some were seconded, some were coming to assist whenever necessary. And now that we're in one building, we think we'll be able to address issues and deliver much better. The issue of staff members who are not happy, there are two staff members who and I think it's an issue where you will find that because of there were two intendants at PSA, some of them now, because of we are slotting them into different departments, HR will be joining HR in the department to assist them with support and also training. And finance will be going to finance so that they are actually also assisted in the finance area. And to some of them, I think it is an issue of not wanting to go and work under somebody else or actually in another team. We had a meeting as the board on Saturday. We have resolved that issue, and Mr. McGee would have to call those two staff members to address the issue with them. And all other staff members are actually working. All our systems now are up and running, and the other employees are actually happy and working quite well at the department, and some of them are enjoying support. The issue of payment, I think there are two issues. One is the issue of Spatahandi, who we are having serious problems, especially in the Eastern Cape. And I'm not sure whether probably you have also read before these cases that we cancelled some of the fights and the promoters in the Eastern Cape took us to court. And the reason why we were cancelling those tournaments is because of we wanted them to pay before the fight. And we have a problem, and last time we raised this issue with the committee, that the Act and regulation are not talking to each other. The Act says the promoter must pay the money the day before the fight, whilst the regulation says 30 days before the fight. But then between the Act and the regulation, the document that actually has more power is the Act. And that actually is creating a serious problem for us. And in this particular issue, the day before the fight, Mr. McGee was called by one of the same promoter and the Secretary General of the provincial structure, indicating that the money is paid into our account. And we thought money was paid on this time, but by Monday we saw that the money was not paid. But what actually happened is that Mr. Spatter had paid for accommodation and all other things, but he didn't pay us money and sanction money even for the international body. When we followed it up with him on Monday, he kept on shifting the dates and giving us a lot of other reasons why he couldn't pay the money. We then checked him, and I think last time we did indicate that we've put up disciplinary procedures. We called him for DC on Thursday, and he's given now, is it 20 days or 40 days?
so that you set up
the money. He's given until the 22nd of May to pay the money, and if he doesn't pay the money, his license will be suspended for a year. The second issue actually the issue of Harry is actually not putting us in a good position, especially internationally, with the fact that some of the people that he owes money are international bodies. We had a meeting as the board on Saturday. We are going now to even inform our officials and provincial managers not to officiate any fight if money is not paid, so that we don't even go to court and we don't cancel the fight, but we just actually say anyone who is licensed by us should not participate in any fight if money is not paid. The second issue that you didn't actually raise, which I think I should take advantage of the fact that you've asked about this one, is the issue of PBL, which is also on media. The issue of PBL, you will recall that in last time in our presentation of our strategy, we indicated that we want to look at other ways of raising funds in order to make sure that we change our financial position. But second to that, we wanted to look at ways of marketing boxing in a different way, more broader. And we had presentation from PBL where they were starting a league, which is totally a new event altogether. And in that league, they were going to pay for their fight, $60,000 to a boxer. And at the end of the tournament, the winner will get $1 million. We thought that project would be one of the projects that we would be improving the standards of living of boxers, because of it's one of our biggest challenges. And we approved that project. But second to that is that the project was going to be televised on ETV. They were going to have a lot of training around that project and reality show. So we thought, you know, if we have that problem, that project, it would actually make it much better. Unfortunately, it didn't work the way we thought, because of at the end of the fight, the event owner didn't pay the $1 million and also the $200,000 that he promised to pay at the end of the fight. We started thinking, he's one of the guys who we canceled his event when he was not paying his money quite well, and he took us to court in Johannesburg. We went to court, we won the case. On the same night, they flew to PE and they reopened the case, now with promoters, officials, and some of the boxers signing against ESA. And in the middle of the night, I received a call that they've changed the judgment, that is going on. And since then, we had a problem then of controlling this issue. And we have our own licensees now partnering with the person who we had contract with against us. And followed to that, though we had other two cases where Eastern Cape took us to court on cancelling the fight. We then requested him to transfer the $1 million guarantee to our account, and that was in 2013, which he didn't. And he kept on shifting the goal to say he's waiting for the sponsors to give him money. And unfortunately, later on he started changing to say, no, he would pay the money himself. But the two cases, the difference is that PBL, he paid all the purse money and sanction fees. The only money he's owing to the boxers is their prize money. Whilst the Handy case, Handy didn't pay the sanctioning and also he didn't pay the purse money. At the board meeting, we've now agreed to open a case against Mr. Muller for all the boxers. So we would be actually taking the issue over now at SBSA. To address the issue with Mr. Mould. I hope Mr. Mould, did I cover everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But thank you, sir.
Honourable members, if you want to engage questions, clarification on the briefing, Honourable Manana.
Good morning, Honorable Member, and good morning, Honorable Guest. So, I think mine is just a short question, but if maybe there are those infighting within the boxing, don't you think that these people who are, why do they infighting, those people that are just making money with these court cases and the boxing as well?
Any other question? Honorable Madam.
Thank you. My question is related to the first issue. I just want to establish that because there was an indication that the move to the Department of Justice is temporary, as to what's the projection of the stay there and what are some of the options that, you know, whether you have initiated steps to look into your own accommodation or whatever, if the long-term plan is to be permanently based in there. Because I understand the move was facilitated by one being locked up into a lease that overcharges you, which is a fair thing to do. But also, that is related to the ongoing case of the then CEO, and whether that move is preceded by the fact that that case hasn't actually been finalized or not.
Yeah, well, it's somehow related to the first one, because my worry is more around the governance issues, because once we have established a company, it needs to behave like a company. Once we don't watch very closely those issues, they'll become a problem tomorrow. Because it's not only related to offices, but it's related to other issues. You are closer within relationship with the department. Well, we understand, because at the moment, we are trying to ensure that boxing does not die. It's our understanding why the department is doing what it is doing at the moment. But the issues of governance remain something that we need to be very, very careful. And my take really is that it can be a permanent thing. You need to exist as an entity. The second issue that we might have to see how we also assist is the whole issue of the promoters. I think we need to come up with a strategy to can begin ensuring that we sort out this problem once and for all. I read your strategy. It is not directly addressed because you've got stakeholders. As part of stakeholders, you do mention that, but it's not direct to promoters. From where I'm sitting, I think we must solve that once and for all, because your existence and sustainability is totally linked to promoters. And it's not the first time that you have problems with promoters. And it is that care is now becoming worse. The case is that it must simply kill you so that they should do that as they wish.
Yeah.
So we need to really try to solve it after surgery, as possible.
Thank you, Honorable. I wanted to have more of a briefing on the case of Mr. Jula. Is it not this case of himself is over 3 years? What have you been doing in between? If now you are saying you are going to open the case, is it the first time that you are going to open the case? If you can elaborate on that, thank you.
Okay. Fine. Thank you very much. The first one about the issue of court cases and lawyers making money. We have a problem with that issue, because of whenever we have issues, these promoters are actually taking us to court. We have now set up systems in place. We've put up a discipline code, which we are now following them up with a document that they have to sign before they get a license. And it's what do you call it? The one that the way to say. Conditions for licensing. So in conditions for licensing, we are now putting all those issues that, you know, do's and don'ts. So I think moving forward we'll be able to address it, that you won't get a license unless if you sign conditions of licensing. And I think that would actually assist us not to go into cost for them to exhaust all internal processes. The issue of the movement to the department to say for how long, an issue around governance issues. We, in our last presentation, we indicated that the CEO was suspended, and then thereafter there was a suspension of the director of operations. We also suspended the CFO, and all those cases, the director now resigned. The CEO, his case was supposed to be analyzed on 30th this month, but he didn't turn up last week. And then because it was busy with cross-examination for this case, they have now extended it to the 6th of May, and possibly that will be the last day. And as soon as that is finalized, and the CFO case is finalized, we are just waiting for a written report from the chairperson of the DC. As soon as all those cases are analyzed, we are going to actually the board now has approved that we should advertise on other posts. So the movement to the department for now temporarily assists us in the gaps to support our staff. And our period of staying in the department, it would be determined by two issues, staff support and the fact that we've agreed as the board now that we should set up a board committee that would actually try and look at new offices. And we had actually agreed that we shouldn't be rushing to just get any other office. We then have now to do a thorough research on exactly where we should be and what resources do we need in that particular area. So I wouldn't be able to give you an exact time to say for how long are we going to stay there. But the issue of governance, I think as soon as we appoint those senior managers, we will start actually then starting to manage our offices on our own, and I think that would then prepare us to move out when we are ready to move to a new office. The issue of promoters and stakeholder relations, we had a workshop with promoters last year, and unfortunately I think possibly I should clarify this. We are not having problems with all promoters. The only area where we have serious problems is in the Eastern Gate. We called for a workshop last year for all promoters. All provinces attended except Eastern Cape. We had a workshop with them, clarified the rules, agreed on how best can we run boxing with them. We then realized that we can't move forward without actually Eastern Cape. We actually then organized another meeting with Eastern Cape promoters, and we had in our own discussion we agreed on how to move forward. And unfortunately for them is the fact that after the meeting when we had agreed on how we move forward, they decided to challenge the issue where we were saying the payment, we should move it from 8 days to 14 days. And they actually even refused the 14 days and increased that to the tournament. They should pay the day for the event. And that's the situation now we find ourselves in, wherein the cases we are relating to, the two cases of payments, are actually both of them from the Eastern Cape. We then followed to that, had a meeting with the minister, and the minister actually requested us to go to Eastern Cape. He was invited by the ANC to go and resolve the problem in the Eastern Cape. We went there first week of December, with the minister in the meeting, and the DG, and also the HOD in the province and the ANC. And out of that, they set up a committee, a task team committee, to work on relationship between ourselves and the Eastern Cape promoters and other licensees. The committee had two meetings, and at the moment they are busy putting a report for the minister to come up with a way forward. I hope after that, possibly we'll be clear as to how we're going to move forward. I think the disappointment on my side is the fact that when we were busy with these meetings, I thought we wouldn't be having any negative publicity. I thought possibly that, you know, whilst we were working internally, we would try and resolve issues internally. And unfortunately, some of the promoters are still going to the media, even when we are trying to resolve the issue internally. the issue of Mr. Nula, we had correspondence between ourselves where we were requesting him to pay the money, and he kept on either changing or trying to give us a different answer. And in some cases, he requested a meeting with me, where he actually said to me he would be getting his money from the provincial government, so we should actually try and be patient with him. When we realized that he's not paying, we then sent him another letter, which again, his response was totally different from all other correspondence we were sending to him. I think he was actually playing games in the process of doing that. We have compiled all the evidence now for the case because of we realized that he was not honest with us in some of the discussions because he did agree at the same time that he would actually transfer that money to our account. And the other issue is the fact that according to his presentation to our board, where we were supposed to get, I think it was either 10% or 20% of his profit, and we are actually also waiting for his report, so that if he's not also going to give us that one, he could actually include it in our court case.
Any other follow-up questions, Honorable Manana?
Thank you, sir. I can hear Mr. Arabella saying that there was no problem in all the promoters in not only the district. In Mpumalanga they had some problems, the promoters themselves, especially the there is a promoter by the name Paul Setha with the land. Those two promoters, they had a serious problem whereby the boxers have to be sanctioned to attend some of the events in boxing. Even now, there was a championship, I don't know whether it was Mafeking. That was the only province did not attend that championship. Because I believe that Paul Setha, the promoter, he did not even hold the license before, or he had the license before, but I don't know whether it was cancelled or it was expired, but he was keep on coordinating, arranging some events for boxing, which was not a good thing, because if maybe they get injured to the boxers, who's going to be in trouble, or if it was the boxers, for the PSA also was going to be in trouble. So that's why I say, if maybe you say there was no problem in all the promoters except the Eastern Cape, I just want to alert you that the Mpumalanga province also had problems.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning. Yes, I'd like to know that when a promoter's license has been suspended for 1 year, and the reason for it being suspended, what is this record? Is it kept there? And also, what is the plus and the minus, you know, because it's just 1 year and he carries on, and is there any way that he will be paying back or whatever the deal was about in some cases?
Thanks, Chair. My question is just a need for clarity, to just maybe take a step back to establish the actual origin of this difficulty that we are in with regard to the employment of boxers per se, because there is a weakness in terms of enforcement. And this is why, you know, the promoters with deep pockets are much more inclined to run to the courts, because there's a weakness in the enforcement aspect which precedes all of the precedes the process of granting the licenses or allowing, you know, as moment to appear. I'm just wondering that given that with this particular instance there is a 3 year period that has occurred, and even now, has it been that attempt to close that loophole? And I'm saying that the difficulty with this is that there is the legislation process to give it much more impetus. But, you know, that gap, while the legislation is still, you know, with one amendment, it exists. And the unfortunate part is, with 10 million in your budget, you can't find every lawsuit that comes your own way. And that in itself presents a difficulty in, you know, in public when we see bauxite by extension, we see bauxite South Africa, and the truth is appears as a toothless entity because it doesn't have resources. But internally, I mean, you know, what are some of the action steps that have been taken? Because what I get is a sense of frustration from this board that, you know, we're dealt with the digital situation that we see to our presence, but we are working in reverse. We are trying to do everything possible we can. But this issue now, for instance, of the percentage of profits that, you know, we're supposed to be payable to in South Africa is a serious transgression on its own. And I just feel like we have South Africa has waited to all offences where committed to have a strong case. Perhaps that's the best way to go. But it just seems as if we're acting reactively and in a weakened position. And the difficulty that a boxing fan would have and I'd have is it just seems that, you know, there's a sense of frustration about this little we can do given the little that we have. And I'm just, you know, curious to find out if that wasn't the case, what would be the best actionable way of going? Because without a code of conditions, for instance, you know, it's always difficult to pinpoint exact violations as and when they happen.
Okay, thank you. The issue of Mpumalanga, we are not aware of that, and I think if this could happen, it was never reported to BSA, but it's something that we could actually follow up. I mean, I know Paul had been attending some of the workshops we were having, so we would actually have a but also, we do have a provincial manager in Mpumalanga, so we'll try to check why it didn't actually report such a case. But also, we never had a problem in Mpumalanga or in other provinces except Limpopo, where we were forced to cancel the bike. Limpopo actually, we tried to do that at the box where the promoter didn't pay the boxers, but when we followed him up, he paid the following week. And that was the only one case. But most of these other cases, actually, that's actually what I was saying, are actually the same case. In other provinces, we haven't actually captured any fight. The second issue was, I just wrote here, suspended and payment. I don't remember what was this. Mr. Handy was also instructed to pay all the costs for the hearing, I think that was it. What we would then do, what you were asking, whether what happened to his record, obviously his record would be our reference if ever he receives the same problem. We would use that one as a reference, and we might actually possibly be forced to take an assessment away from him and no longer suspend it. There was a big debate within the board where some of them were saying that possibly we should have taken the assessment away. But the point is that we have now set up an independent forum, and that forum is the one that actually fit on those theories and respected their decision. The issue of the origin of these problems, you will recall one of the charges for Mr. Loishomta was around issues where he was allowing some of the fights to go on without payment. And immediately thereafter, we started trying to enforce procedures and systems to be followed. And that's when we started having a problem of all these cases and negative publicity. And some of the promoters saying to us, this board must go because of we are actually trying to make sure that all the procedures are followed. We then sat down and looked at ways of actually trying to put systems in place. And one of the systems is the one that I raised earlier, that we've now put up systems to say when you get a license, there are certain conditions that you have to adhere to. And second to that, we then put up systems on disciplinary codes and arbitration. And that is now, we had a workshop with all licenses in all provinces, and all of them now understand those procedures. the third issue that we are coming up with, which we are planning to do, is to also have assist all licensees from associations, so that there should be an association of officers, association of managers or promoters at provincial level and also at national level, so that whenever there are challenges, we know there is a structure that represents those forums. And another thing that we are working on is to also look at training programs, because some of the promoters are just following certain individuals without actually looking at the real issues, and possibly some of them with lack of understanding of some of the issues. So we want also work on training of all the licensees in their different areas. So there are things that we have put in place in trying to make sure that we resolve those issues. Whilst on the other hand, we had a meeting with the minister, which we think the minister would actually very soon call us to give us the report, especially in dealing with the problems we were experiencing in the Eastern Cape.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now I'm suspecting that we do have information and without you that you would have come to the committee to give the guarantees and the follow-up social members. Now, as a chairperson on behalf of the committee, I can have now guards respond to those people, call media people that they are calling and asking these questions. I can't just respond on something that I don't have information. Thank you for this clarification, but you are saying that all is not yet well in the boxing of America. And we wish that, as you promised, that as a new board, we are still struggling and we are getting there. Every now and then, we are hoping that you will assist these boxers. Because last week, the DG told us sometimes that even the fighters themselves, they do waste their rights. And it's a very problematic thing, and we'll be seeing you not doing your work, but the very same boxers that are doing something that in turn the court in between. So we're hoping for the best. We'll always contact you if we want to get how far are you. We're hoping that you'll be doing your best and you'll be taking care of what members are saying, especially with your location and whatever. Let's take this opportunity to apologize even to the second visitors of ourselves that we started with questions and we give you time to present your state plan. Now let's go straight to that. This is your opportunity to present your state plan and your progress. Thank you. I didn't change my program, but I'm seeing now, according to the agenda, it's Boxing South Africa, and Boxing South Africa didn't, but because of taking the time, I've seen that states are jumping the gun without me giving them the right, but with the legally team that was started with can start. Honorable members, let's take A to be B and B to be A according to agenda. You should that we've adopted the agenda, and it was not the first ones to present. We do respect, we're taking your time, because we started with questions instead of the presentation. It's your time to talk to us.
Honourable Chairperson, members of the committee, sport and recreation. Good morning to everyone. I'm Graham Abrahams, a board member of Drug Free Sport. In the absence of our chairperson, Dr. Harold Adams, who is unfortunately traveling on athletics business. We want to thank you for this opportunity to be able to engage with the Portfolio Committee. On behalf of our board as well, we want to wish you well in your work of oversight over sports bodies and entities such as SAPES. I have with me the CEO of Rugby Sport, Mr. Khalid Khalat, who many of you are familiar with, chairperson, and members. You, some time back, you visited the offices of SAFE here in Cape Town, so I think members are very much aware of the activities and the work that SAGE do in sports in particular. We've been asked to come and present to you our strategic plan and our annual performance plan, obviously being a statutory body created through an act of parliament. We are directly accountable to parliament through this committee, and we certainly believe that over the years we have established a very good working relationship with this committee. Recently we also had a national seminar with sports federations, which chairperson and members also attended. Part of our mandate is ongoing education within this critically important area. My colleagues to my left, boxing, are very much familiar with the role that rugby sport plays in boxing and the sport such as boxing. So whilst we have a very specific mandate, we are also colleagues in the sporting environment. So with that brief introduction, I want to thank you, and I'm going to ask Khalid to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Abrams.
Thank you, Mr. Abrams, and good morning, our committee and chairperson. Again, thank you for the opportunity to present to give our perspective on the upcoming budget vote. Also, just thank you for moving us up in the agenda and for the presence of BSA and being cooperative with the chairperson. The tabling of the SAGE budget and strategic plan, you may know, is part of the tabling process for the National Department of Sport. And according to my information, the Minister has tabled his budget, and the SAGE budget is an integrated budget within the FRSA budget. So what you see on the slide is what we delivered to the Minister, to the Department of Sport, and I think the requirement was 60 copies, and it was part of the tabling of the overall strategic plan and budget to Parliament. Just to refresh our mission and vision as an agency, the key part is detect, deter, and prevent the use of prohibited substances and methods in South Africa and the international sporting environment, which are contrary to the principles of fair play and the health and well-being of athletes. And to add on to this vision and the work of the Portfolio Committee, I think one member here was still part of the Portfolio Committee about 2 years ago, where we had a joint committee meeting between Portfolio Committee on Sport and Basic Education, where the both committees urged us to really pool our resources and work together in terms of addressing doping in school sport. And I can I'm pleased to say that the Department of Basic Education in February recognized doping as a public health issue. And SAGE and Department of Basic Education are now working very closely to implement a national testing program in school sport. And that's a direct benefit of the two portfolio committees asking us to present to them on school sport issues. The vision of the agency of rugby sport is to build an agency that is the beacon of authority on anti-doping matters and ethics in sport in South Africa and the African continent, and I'll touch more later on our work in Africa and the capacity building initiatives we have with the rest of the continent. But the key performance areas are obviously doping control, which is drug testing, which is a core part of our mandate. Results management is the process that when an athlete gets positive, the infrastructure and the process that we follow there. And that's an important performance measure, because if there are errors there or things go wrong there, we are then always in the media when athletes get off or are found not guilty and also found guilty. But where they are found not guilty, we would like to be sure that there were no administrative errors on our part. And again, where we do make administrative errors, we will acknowledge that. Again, we are it's human beings that are working the system, and we're not beyond reproach. Education, outreach, and research. Again, as mentioned, also one of the key areas, and quite a few of the committee members have been experienced part of our education session, whether it was at the national level or in your constituencies in terms of our outreach. And again, I'd like to thank the committee members that do involve us in the constituency work with school sport, especially where school sport is concerned. Strategic alliances and partnerships, income and expenditure, operational process, management process, all other key performance areas that tie together to make us an agency that is efficient and financially prudent and also compliant with various legislations and regulations and agreements that we have to adhere to. A key aspect of a performance area for 2015 and 2016 will be the review of the existing drug-free legislation to bring it in line with the new code and international best practices and changes. And again, the portfolio committee will be invited as part of this process, because inevitably it will end up, or ultimately it will end up in on the committee level before the minister will table it for promulgation in the National Assembly. So we will involve the portfolio committee, the review process and the draft process and commentary process. Some key indicators and targets for 2015 in terms of testing. Our target is 3,000 tests, and that includes testing in sport in general and also in school. And those testing include urine tests, blood tests, human growth tests, all the testing spectrum. The implement anti-doping outreach projects, those are the more wide-scale education projects at events. And one of those outreach projects include our involvement and support to the All Africa Games in Brazzaville this year, where we provide resources and capacity to our counterparts in Brazzaville. Deliver anti-doping workshops and seminars to provincial sports federations and sports academies. Again, and that on average, if you look at 8 seminars for the year, that's almost once a month if you take out January, November, and December. But interestingly, December is quite a busy month for us. It may be a holiday month, but that's when a lot of the, especially the Olympic sports, have training camps, and we also have a lot of international athletes training in South Africa. So the demand for education workshops increases during what may generally be perceived as vacation time. Sources of funding. The sources of funding for SAIDS is 80% is a government grant, which is the grant that comes through the Department of Sport, and which we submit and have to motivate to entities like the Portfolio Committee and the National Treasury. In the last 4 years, we've also submitted grants to the Lottery Distribution Fund, and we have received, we've been successful in terms of our grant application, not necessarily in terms of the amount that we initially applied for, but we have received substantial funding from lottery. And in sales revenue, and sales revenue that SAIDS get accounts for about 5% of all our income. And that is through the work in Africa and in South Africa Ocean International Sports Federation. South Africa is the only country on the continent that has a drug testing accredited lab. So we're one of 32 labs in the world. So that revenue that is generated this largely part through testing in other parts on the continent. Our government funding, as you know, government funding works on a 4-year cycle in terms of the NPEF. They're allowed on an annual basis through the ENE or estimated national expenditure process to adjust. About 5 years ago, we received a substantive increase in the government grant to about 120% increase. That was an increase that was to fill a backlog. And over the last 4 years, the increase has only been inflationary increases, and unfortunately has not been able to keep up with the changing compliance regulations, international regulations, and the changing sports environment. As a global, as a public entity in South Africa that operates in the global environment, we also face the pressures of a weak rand in dealing with some of our international obligations, where we have to purchase equipment or have testing done with a cost or even other currency. So the agency is moving towards a greater reliance on luxury funding to support core functional areas. Now this is not a sustainable direction, but it is a reality of the funding and the changing nature of our business. And luxury has supported us in core functional areas as education, school testing, blood testing, capital expenditure, and international commitment with respect to business practices. Luxury funding is not guaranteed, and it's an ongoing discussion and motivation that we have with Treasury that luxury funding should be supplementary, and that the grant funding, to say, should cover the core functions quite comfortably. The approved budget, the Treasury approved budget, and what I put up on the screen is a consolidated budget that includes the Treasury grant, the government grant, plus the lottery, and that total is 50 million, and I divided it on the right side with the percentages so that you can see the core function, one of the core functions being doping control, we still spend a large amount of our, the greatest amount of our expenditure of our budget goes to drug testing. Our administration has increased, the expense there over the last 4 years, and that is largely due to job creation, where we are now in positions to change part-time jobs and outsource jobs to full-time jobs. And that was a request, a national request, from the presidency through Treasury that we had to motivate and adjust budgets so that our budgets could also have a job creation aspect to it. But it has taken us 5 years to reach the point where we can now have these full-time positions, move from part-time to full-time positions. Our capital expenditure increased, and that is due to more staff that comes with that is commensurate with capital expenditure. We are also moving towards a paperless doping control administrative system, and that involves a huge capital, one sort of capital in injection. And then the capital expenditure includes lottery funding, which is the lottery funding for mobile drug testing lab, that we can have more consistent drug testing environments around the country, that it can be anywhere, any place, any time, but at a consistent high quality level. Performance milestones, we normally come to the portfolio committee around about September, August, after we submit our annual report by the Parliament deadline of August. So we will hopefully come again this year and present to you our annual report. And previous years we've come and we've consistently presented and delivered unqualified financial audits to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harati. Honorable members, short and brief and clear, this is the time for engagement. Any hands, any questions, any clarifications? Honorable Malachi, Honorable Abraham, Honorable Mushi, Honorable Manana, Honorable Ranahom. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask two questions. One being that I see that a less amount of that focus on the testing and what attributes to the work that will probably be done when it comes to organized professional sports and organized competitions. And I just wanted to get the thinking in terms of the long-term approach with regards to the level of supplement testing that happens at a much more amateur level, and what are some of the inroads that trade is making or planning to make in that, because it, and I stand to be corrected, but it would appear to me that the focus seems much more to be on organized, like regional competitions, like school sports competitions, which give you the chance of reaching a much more wider market within one section. But, you know, given that there is a lack of actually understanding of what the required supplements are and what are legal supplements and what are legal supplements that happens to, you know, they're not so professional athletes or those that are not exposed to the kind of education about what are legit and what are not legitimate, use of supplementation. Because they are, the participation sport, they are those that deal for the pressures of facing professional careers, but it's also part of a lifestyle. Yeah. And I know that market might not necessarily be a sex market, but what amount of work goes into ensuring that even the pursuit of healthy lifestyles is complemented by proper education in terms of the use of the right supplements. And secondly, on the issue of the amount of work that's been done with the public of the Department of Education, and I just want to find out that given the lack of an enforcement regulation in this case, in the sense of an act that allows for the random testing of school kids, as to whether there's been or is work being planned in terms of engaging school governing bodies and teacher unions with regard to this long-term plan, so that at the time we get to that stage, there isn't resistance from some of those bodies, but we are doing this in a holistic way, rather than where we're engaging solely the Department of Education, so that all those stakeholders in that environment have a clear sense of what the intention is of this, so that we don't end up in a situation where, you know, those parents or bodies with deep pockets, you know, will resort to the courts to prevent what is meant to be a very positive step in encouraging that, you know, young aspiring sports stars grow up with the knowledge of what are the right substances to use if they so wish. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'd like to know on the same outreach project that you talked about, which provinces will be covered and what type of projects that you have. And also on the anti-doping at workshops and seminars, again, which provinces, because I'd like to know if they are, how tenuous are they, and the academies where we will find those places. And then on the full-time and part-time employees, how many do you have full-time, how many part-time, and do you have any people with a disability that is employed in your employ? Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Mook.
Okay.
Honorable Malala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to welcome the presentation, Chairperson, as has been presented. And I want to appreciate to say in the 2013-2014 financial year that they had that unqualified audit union. That shows you consistently, Chairperson, of good financial performance. Although the auditor generally made emphasis on that you procure some goods and services without obtaining required price protection. That was on the 2013-2014 financial year. So my question is that what plans has SAGE put in place to remedy the supply chain concerns raised by auditor general in the 2013-2014 financial year report. So, Chairperson, the good thing about this doping system is that it assists, it registers the players who are playing under the influence. So I just want to know if maybe they have, since they're going to have these officials, the sales officials, that in those they organize events like the intergovernmental games, the municipality does arrange these intergovernmental games, whereby I just want to find out if you do have officials who will be attending those intergovernmental games in the municipality, including the FALDA games, because the FALDA does have those games. And the other provinces, in 2013-2014, you have appointed the education officer. You excluded only two provinces, which was Northwest and Mpumalanga. I just want to find out in your 2014-2015 financial year that these two provinces, are you still going to maybe to appoint those education officers? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Manana. Honourable Shukakakon.
And mine is on the current suspension of Simon Mahagwe. Maybe we should get an understanding. Because if we were doing a proper outreach, I mean, we can't have a good guy like Simon just deciding to refuse to take a test. The second is issues that we have raised last time, issues around sustainability of the sage, in particular with relation to some of the federations that have got their money, like rugby, for instance, it's a billion, association. There might be others that do have money. How can we be sure that we tap into some of those federations? Because increasingly, your role in Africa is going to increase in more ways. I know you referred to it in our strategy. But if you are not going to begin dealing with sustainability in terms of tapping into the big federations, tapping into the allied athletes, because also, like you are saying, it's not guaranteed. But even government, I mean, it's the role of government, the department, but you need to also begin looking at the other ways, innovative ways to can ensure that you are sustainable.
With those questions, now is the time to.
Thank you for the members of those questions. I mean, the CEO deals quite a lot of the operations, but if it starts with the sustainability of states, the member is quite correct.
The member is quite correct that there's a need for sustainability. The funding by government can never be enough. And we understand the imperatives, we understand that government can only cut the take to the extent that it can, given the priorities that we have. So our dependence on the lottery distribution agency is certainly an area of concern for us. But it's also very important, members, to understand the need for SAGE not only to be, but to be seen to be independent. I hear what the member says about engaging bigger federations such as SARU. Perhaps it could, in the public eye or through perceptions, compromise the independence of an organization such as SAGE if they have to have a relationship with federations fund us. So that is one area that I think we need to guard against. However, there is nothing wrong with federations approaching SAGE directly to assist in things such as education. In actual fact, SAFA, through the SAFA Trust, okay, we in actual fact serve as a service provider to SAFA in education, and that actually paid for that. So perhaps, honorable member, that is an area that we need to be looking at. The role within Africa, it's critically important that we engage the continent the way we have done it and going forward as well. Having the only recognized laboratory on the continent, it's critically important that instead of going to Asia and Europe, etc., that the testing needs to be done here in Bloemfontein, by our land. That will also strengthen relations to Africa. So yes, we would love, you know, there are lots of pharmaceutical companies would probably love to put money into SAGE, but again, we tend to keep an arm's length. I'm going to touch on the honourable member's question around supplements as well. So we try to stay at arm's length from a perceived point of view, but also from a moral point of view of retaining the independence. We are extremely mindful we need a greater sustainability, and that is why we have a specific marketing department now to be looking at how we can only make SAGE more relevant in people's lives, but where it becomes part and parcel of people's daily living. That brings me to Honorable Malachi's question around testing. What our long-term approach is within organized competitions. SAGE has a dual role. It's education, but it's also to act as the watchguard, the watchdog, in actual fact, around specifically abuse and misuse of substances. The supplements market is a minefield. Just about every, if you look at the supplements market in South Africa, it's a growing area, but it's a minefield in the sense that there's no control around contamination. There's no control of what is in that trust. So the truth be told, through our education programs, we emphasize the role of healthy living, and healthy lifestyles do not necessarily have to be complemented with the use of supplements. As we take it off ourselves at the moment. It's a minefield of an area, and unfortunately or fortunately, it's a growing business, and it will be an extremely difficult area to control and to guarantee. So we do not endorse products as a rule. We do not endorse a product on the supplementary level, but we certainly agree with you that the need for healthy lifestyles. Around schools, interesting comment raised by the member around enforcement. At this stage, it's voluntary. We engage the Department of Education. Obviously, we have to engage the school governing bodies. Quite often, schools approach us to test the youngsters. I suppose it will be certain codes of sport where you find this more prominent than in others. I think through our education programs, we want to reach a situation of preventative rather than having to do tests. So I think the education part is critical for us. A test in itself, and Khalid will touch it, would be extremely costly just to complete one test. So a lot of our emphasis is on education, but I like thinking about engaging directly with teacher unions, etc. At the end of the day, it will be school governing bodies and the very school administrators who play a huge role there. To the honourable member around our outreach programs, I'm sure Khalid will touch on that. On the question of full-time and part-time staff, just very quickly, he will give you the numbers, but in one specific area, and it touches on the honourable member which was touched on the financial issues, we have now decided that at the senior level, we in actual fact need a full-time financial person. We're not just a chartered accountant. We say we need a senior financial manager on a full-time basis to address not only issues that we have raised on the member, but will serve as part of our senior management team with the CEO to not only retain, maintain what they've done, because for us it's not only about ensuring a clean audit, it's also about ensuring the sustainability of the organization, ensuring credibility of the organization. So that's one area that we're looking at. Also we're looking at the legal aspect. Increasingly people resort to courts. Increasingly they look for technical issues to get off from doping. doping is like Texas to always be there. You will never be able to get rid of it. It is how you manage it and how we approach it, both from a testing point of view, but also from an education point of view. Education officers, I'm sure he will touch on that, and then the intergovernmental game, I think it's very important for us to take note of what honorable members said around the games at local government level. So whilst we may not focus necessarily on testing, or we could be doing a very minimal amount of testing, I think a great focus must be on education there. So certainly for the Salga and various local municipalities is an area that we can certainly look into. I think I've tried to cover some of the issues on a policy level, and over to my colleague.
Thank you, Graham. So at least now we don't have to talk so much, because quite a substantial part of that has been covered, but I will go through the order. Just on the supplements issue, we have a position, we developed a position statement in 2009 and updated again in 2013, and it will be updated again. The position statement is on the safe use of sports supplements, and if I recall correctly, one of the committee researchers attended our national seminar on sports supplements and nutrition last year at Wanderers Cricket Ground in the Gauteng, where we had a full day dedicated to the risks of supplements, to the beneficial use of sports supplements, and what are permitted and what are dangerous or banned in sport. And just finally, the Department of Health has, I'm not sure if I'm using the correct word, what table means, but what I'm trying to say is that there is a draft form from the Department of Health that's called the Bill on Complementary Medicines and Nutraceuticals that is in draft form, and it was sent to me for comment with a specific area on sports supplements. So I'm not sure where if it's in the draft form or where it is in the parliamentary process. On the issue of schools testing, in February I was invited by the Department of Basic Education to present at the annual stakeholder conference with the education stakeholders, which included the various associations of governing bodies, the trade unions, principal organizations, and other stakeholders identified by the Department of Basic Education. It's an annual conference they have, and we were on the slot and talking about the issue of doping and testing in schools. There was good engagement from the stakeholders and overwhelming support to address the issue of steroid use in schools. On the outreach program, the provincial distribution, the outreach program, again, that's where sports happens. We don't, outreach program doesn't happen in isolation. It happens as part of a sports program. So, again, it's going to be biased towards where the sports, excuse me, national programs are. Like if February happens to be in Gauteng, the outreach programs will be there. But we have also worked with provincial departments of sport and education and culture. We don't see provincial national games happening there, or national games happening. We will try to have some outreach events, and we have had good success with the Northern Cape, especially when they have the annual provincial or national X Games in Kimberley. A former employee of the Department of Sport, who is now the Director of Sports in Mpumalanga, has been an important contact for us in getting better inroads in Mpumalanga. And then one of our board members is a professor at the University of Limpopo, and has given us a good foothold for both outreach programs and recruitment in the Limpopo area. So we have, we are cognizant of that our distribution should be nationally and not only urban bias or towards the provinces with strong urban areas. We work closely with BSA, specifically on involving in the Eastern Cape with outreach programs and education seminars. In terms of the sports academies, again, we piggyback on the existing sports academy infrastructure, which is provincial based, not all the provinces very cooperative have established provincial academies, but we do piggyback on the academy program, and we work together with SASCOC's Coaching Commission with that. With respect to the personnel complement, currently it's at 10 full-time people, and we'll be moving by the end of 2015 towards 15 full-time people. In terms of the part-time workers, now in terms of SARS, there's a specific definition that's called part-time contract workers. These are part-time workers do have full-time jobs. So they work like on a part-time contract basis. We have 80 doping control offices around the country, distributed across the provinces, 16 education offices, 16 professionals who serve in independent tribunal systems, and these are most of the people that the chairperson met at the national seminar, which comprise of lawyers, senior sports administrators or executives, and also sports medical doctors. With respect to the Auditor General and the matters of emphasis on procurement, as mentioned, our financial department is headed by an outsourced part-time CFO professional. So that is moving, we are moving towards a full-time CFO position. One of the recommendations from the Auditor General on the procurement issue was to establish a supply chain department or unit. Now, budget and our resources doesn't warrant that, but what we have done is now registered with TradeWorld, which is what the government uses. So there are a bunch of steps that have already been taken care of when you draw suppliers from TradeWorld. TradeWorld actually does your city supply quote, but issue of BE certificate, tax clearance certificates that are blacklisted, are all taken care of by TradeWorld. So once we get a supplier from TradeWorld, they've already complied with these regulations, and hopefully this year it won't even be an issue raised by the Auditor General with respect to financial order. In terms of games, you mentioned shelter games and intergovernmental games. We differentiate between the testing occurs and where education occurs. Now, testing occurs within the infrastructure of sport. So I'm not sure if, Anish, I hope I'm explaining it correctly, but testing can only be it will only withstand the vigor of a tribunal and court when it happens within the infrastructure of sport. So ISALDA has games are not recognized by a national federation or under auspices of a national federation, whether it's the multi-sport codes or by SASCOC. We don't do testing there because we don't have jurisdiction there because it's just a normal sports event. But we will do our education outreach or education seminars. We're not talking so much about drug testing per se, but about the dangers of doping, about supplements, ethics and fair play. But again, we don't determine the sports calendar. We had to go research and find it, and to be quite honest, this is the first time I hear of the Saudi Games, but we will look into go research when it happened and what the nature of the games are. But it is not brought to our attention through a national sports calendar, which we get by SASCOC or the department. We don't necessarily know about it. There was a question on the Northwest and Mpumalanga with respect to education offices. Just before specific on the Northwest, we have not specifically recruited an education officer there because the Northern Housing normally covers the Northwest area. With Mpumalanga, we have recruited specifically two people that have been working there quite extensively. Where the demand will increase in the Northwest, we will obviously reevaluate whether we need additional human resources there. On the issue of the current suspension of Simon McCarthy, Simon has been tested numerous times by us and by the IAAF. The test that he is currently banned for was initiated and tested by the IAAF, which is the International Federation for Athletics. We did not do the test, and the statements and
the details of the case, I don't know. The reason why Simon refused to be tested, I can confidently say can't be attributed to his level of education on drug testing, because he's been tested numerous times before, not only out of competition but at international events, because the fact that he was tested by the IAAF means that he's not a small-time or a national athlete. He's a big deal. So he's tested by the IAAF. And the reason for his refusal, I cannot speculate, and it's up to Simon to actually tell us. So I think confidence to say is not about the lack of education, because he's been tested numerous times. And I think the other questions have been addressed by Mr. Abrams, the only first question.
Honourable members, I've seen some hands, follow-up questions, Honourable Wilson, Honourable Upton, Honourable Malak.
No, thank you, Chairperson. This is a follow-up. Maybe, Chairperson, if you'd allow me to start with this one of education officers in the Northwest, having them, you know, their job being done by North Gauteng. I don't know, but I think given the vastness and the rurality of the area, I think if you evaluate, you'd actually see that there's a need for one. Yeah. And if you allow me to say it's a person like that. But the person, the other person, I raised my hand earlier on, and then I said I was covered. When a question on school random testing was posed, I got covered. But I thought an answer would cover, you know, the answer that you've got, because we posed a similar question previously to the DG, and the DG, when he answered it, he used some legal term there, which indicated that you know, whenever they have that in an sort of or a bill, it would then make every learner or every parent who brings a child to school to comply. Now, what I want to check with you gentlemen is whether you have some sort of a bill that you are going on with it, because that's what the DG said. I remember very well. My second question would be, I like a mission, not the detect, care, and prevent. I hear the prevent part of it, the detect part of it, but I want to check what is it, but what form of deterrent that you use, you know, so that you know it say whatever the mission says. My very last question. We have seen Dr. Ramatisele here previously, and I think he came to introduce himself here, or was introduced to us, but we don't see him. We are actually not sure where he is. If whether he's still part of you, you tell us. If he's not part of you, you also tell us, and perhaps briefly indicate to us as to why he's not part of you anymore. And thank you, the person.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Akan.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Mine is a follow-up. I'd like to make I wasn't responding to the people with a disability, so I can request. If not that, you please look into future and employ people with disability. I saw people staying cars yesterday and disabled, so they are possible. We can do anything to them. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thanks, Chair. I've got two follow-ups. The one is with regard to the reference that the CEO made with regards to the bill that the Department of Health is still underway. To just align that to whether there's been any amount of work being done in relation to the bill that the department is preparing on the draft Fitness Industry Authority Bill,
and my particular interest that correlates with the initial issue I raised on, you know, supplements, but without limiting it to it, that you've got this fitness, you know, lifestyle centers, whatever I've called in different aspects, that also encourage, you know, or go have concerted marketing campaigns with some of these established brands in this market that, you know, offer supplements and other instruments that people can use for their fitness, to whether there would be scope in there for sales in the outreach work with the fitness industry, just to ensure that, you know, the amount of the public that goes in there, and that includes some of the athletes, you know, do not just simply presume that the gospel is preached on what, you know, performance enhancing instruments are offered, and just does not expose them to some form of culpability. And secondly, relates to the issue of outreach, is whether there is work being done or planned with regards to your more traditional sports, and in this case I'll face two examples, one of fist fighting, which is very popular in the fan of Limpopo, and stick fighting. And that is just simply for the purpose of whether in our education work, we, in the outreach work, the thinking goes beyond the much more popular shorting coach, but just to inculcate that behavior of, you know, what people should look out for in terms of what are the right products to use, and even outside of the realm of which products are right to use, but, you know, in terms of the general acceptable standard of what is required from, you know, an aspiring athlete in terms of being fully cognizant of some of the threats that are there and expose them to vulnerability to regards to international and local standards on those.
Thank you, Honorable
Members.
Any other questions?
Chair, I'll leave the CEO to deal with most of it. Let me deal with the issue of Dr. Mataseli in particular. Doctor was a colleague and chairperson of the board. He resigned last year, submitted his resignation to the minister, who in terms of the act, appoints members to the board, advice of chairperson. At the moment there are two vacancies on the board, which would be to fill the vacancy of Dr. Mataseli, and then the ladies Professor Leru of UCT also resigned, I think, at the end of last month, the month before. She's furthering her studies, so she's also resigned. So there are two vacancies basically on the board. What we have actually put to the department was to look at the skills matrix of what are the skills that we have on the board and where there may be gaps. So the reasons for Dr. Mataseli's resignation we are not privy to. We obviously conveyed it to the minister. But yeah, no longer shows on board. I hand over to my colleague to answer some of that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. There's two, I think, comments that I have to note the rationale from the Northwest. So I do note that, and I apologize for the mention on visibility, and it is noted, but I want to also just mention that we do test the Paralympic athletes in South Africa. Performs extremely well in Paralympic sport, and we will be looking at recruiting disabled athletes or retired disabled athletes to do the testing on that, who are more sensitive and understand the dynamics of testing a Paralympic athlete. And the training for testing Paralympic athletes is completely different because they are legal guidelines that different legal guidelines we have to adhere to. The schools ran the testing, the issue of compliance in the bill, issue of the bill and how the DG answered, and you're quite correct. Random testing, the word random and the principle is illegal in South Africa, in schools. The schools act as very clear on that. You can test, you can do drug testing, any type of drug testing in school, if it's targeted and initiated by the headmaster
or other schools, not by the parents, but by the headmaster. So that is a constraining factor, and that also came out 2-3 years ago when we presented to the two portfolio committees. Now, with the Department of Basic Education, we've worked on that, and in the schools act, this required the minister to, the Minister of Education, something as simple as writing a letter to, like an appendix or something. They don't have to go through the whole promulgation process. But that has been done, but doesn't address the issue of random. It's just about the mechanism used for testing. The only way the randomness where, as you refer to, where testing will be independent, no notice, at the school level is if it's included in a bill. And I mentioned earlier with the strategic plan, the review of the current legislation to meet new demands, and that is one of the sectors we're looking at, specifically the jurisdiction around schools testing, and where the new legislation complements the Schools Act but doesn't violate any human rights aspect in terms of the school guarantees with respect to drug testing. So that is what the DG was referring to. In terms of deterrence, testing is always a deterrent, and again that ties in with your random issue. Testing in sport happens no notice at any time and at any point. So today we may test at the Super 15 rugby match, but it doesn't mean next week we may also test at the Super 15 rugby match. So the rugby player can expect testing to happen anytime, at any game, anywhere. Now the anywhere was in the case of Simon McDuckwood, where he got tested out of competition. He wasn't warned, caught him by surprise, and for some reason he refused. So that is the deterrent aspect. Another part of the deterrent aspect is the sanction and the ban. Before 2015, last year, the ban from sport was a minimum, not the minimum. The starting framework that we work from was 2 years. You can either move down if there are mitigating circumstances, or you could move upwards if it was aggravating circumstances. Now the ban is 4 years. So the ban is actually increased. And that is not a South African change, it's a global change with the buy-in from athletes and the sports federations. The question on the draft fitness industry bill, I received that bill 2 weeks ago for us on for the bill, if the correct word is the bill, to give comments on it. You do bring up an interesting point on the lifestyle centers, and my review of the bill will be specifically and using that lens with what role the lifestyle centers play. To one of the big brands in South Africa, Virgin Active, and I included this in our annual report presentation 2 years ago, the partnership with Virgin Active, where they adopted a zero tolerance policy towards doping and for supplements on the premises, and where we also signed an agreement which says year-round training at all the Virgin Active clubs in the country with the staff on the dangers of doping, how to recognize different substances, and also what is banned or permitted in sport, and also the risks that they as a supplier may face, not from an agency, agency like SAFE, but from law enforcement in terms of the trafficking of banned substances. With traditional sports, we have had an involvement with the traditional games, and it's normally in November, December, where we've had outreach programs there. We are not tested at the traditional games yet, and it may be something that we will start looking at the future as the games become more competitive. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I've seen one hand, which I suspect is the last one. Honourable Nana.
Thank you, Shah. Of course, it's just a short question, and it's the last one. I just want to find out, since our hearing has on the supply chain issues, that do you use Black supply chain in your database on your supply chain related issues as detected by the eminent person report on the transformation? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone?
Thank you, Chair. Part of the treasury requirements
for any procurement over 2,000 rand requires a BE certificate and tax clearance certificate. Now, to comply with it on an easier basis for an agency like us, where we don't have a procurement or supply chain unit, we use TradeWorld. And TradeWorld, you won't be able to be on TradeWorld if you don't already comply with all those aspects of tax clearance and the BE certificate, and also gives us the level of the BE grading. Does that answer? TradeWorld is a database that the government uses and public entity uses for procurement, or it's one of the databases. And we were advised by the Auditor General. I think it may be provincial based, because the Auditor General that we use is the Western Cape Auditor General, and they advise us to use TradeWorld.
Oh, no, you
want
to follow-up?
I don't even know that I'm asking the database that I'm talking about is industrial that select, let's say, although you're not gonna, it's not gonna select automatically, but you have, you must maybe have the database anyway, Jefferson, because they say they been advised by the Auditor General. I think maybe you should gonna have some in the decision on that question. We don't know, and they have to adhere on this Auditor General of the, because the database I'm talking about is the database that put all the supply, the data, the master data. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, honorable members, and the honorable members of the. It's a pleasure that you did come, and we are hoping that we are one other entity that is very important in our community, especially that drugs is one of those that it's a very, very bad thing in communities, it's worse in schools. So keep your good work, but we always want you to do what is stimulated by your mission and vision. We'll monitor, we'll do our oversight. But so far, thank you so much watching you getting there. Thank you with those words, watching, thank you very much. When we need you, we'll call you. When we want to do oversight on your offices, we'll do so. Thank you so much.
Honourable Chair, thanks to you and the committee for engaging us, and thanks to my colleague here for accommodating us. Thanks.
With those final words from our visitors, now is the time for our boxing South Africa to table their stress today with apologies boxing South Africa. Whatever was done to you today, our apologies.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity again, to present our strategic plan and also our APP for 2015-2016. Just to give you a background, you would recall that last year when we presented our strategic plan, there were areas that we needed to review. We had a session last year, August, to as the new board to review the strategic plan, and especially on areas as indicated by the agent. Our legal framework is actually around the act and the regulation and policies within DSA and other procedures, but we are also influenced by all other legal frameworks within government structures, as indicated, the Safety Act, Sports and Recreation Act, Labor Relations Act, Public and Finance Management Act, Promotion of Access to Information Act, Preferential Procurement Policy Framework, and also Skill Development Act and Basic Conditions of Employment. There are actually also strategic influence documents that we look at, documents like the National Development Plan, which actually in our review, we actually look at all those documents. Government outcome for gym, the White Paper of Sport and Recreation, the National Sport and Recreation Plan, and medium-term strategic framework, and then we came up with a strategic plan and annual performance plan. We didn't change our vision. Our vision is the same, to be the leading sporting coach in South Africa and the world class boxing authority. And our mission is to and promote and effectively regulate the administration of boxing in South Africa by ensuring and safeguard the health and safety and general well-being of professional boxers. And this is one of the areas when I was initially talking about the issue of training. I think these are some of the areas that we look at in our plan to train them in some of the areas. Promoting and marketing and sanctioning quality boxing events and tournaments, and also increasing the sport popularity with athletes, supporters, and also with sponsors. And we are also looking at credibly reaching boxers and training of licenses. And that we, with the ratings, we do it every week now and always on our website now. And then training of licenses is one of the things that I raised earlier, that we will be looking at that. Positioning of boxing as a point of reference for international sanctioning bodies in South Africa, and ensuring that Boxing South Africa fulfills its role as a custodian of the best interest and concern of all South African boxers at home and also international. And also the other part of the mission is to improving the status of national and provincial titles, and coordinating the activities of all boxing stakeholders in the council for the purpose of unifying the sporting code and managing the situation with integrity. We set up strategic goals, and our first goal is the effective and sustainable organization. And in doing that is to ensure an effective and efficient and sustainable organization. And for us to that, the second goal is to transform and regulate the environment. And in doing that would be ensuring the development and transformation of boxing and create synergy between professionals and amateur boxing, which we are doing quite well in that area and working together with Sanab. And goal number three within the strategic plan is marketing and communication and also stakeholder management.
wherein we would then focus on ensuring that there is a marketing of boxing and to promote interaction between associations of boxers, managers, promoters, trainers, and also officials within boxing. And our budget structure focuses on the three programs, which is governance and administration, boxing development, and also boxing promotion. And in that area, when it comes to governance, we are actually looking at to provide strategic leadership, good governance, good corporation governance, corporate governance, and also overall administration and financial sustainability of boxing. And in looking at it, I think, in the last financial year, we tried by all means to manage our finances in a better way. I think moving forward, we'll be able to cover some of the area and make sure that there is some form of sustainability. Boxing development, the area that we focus on is to ensure compliance with key aspects of Boxing Act and the rules, regulation, and enforcement of the applications where non-compliance is observed. And I think we've identified that whilst we are supposed to do that, there is also a challenge which we will need to resolve. And the progress will provide compliance with the licensing of practitioners, functioning of boxing events, rating of boxers, as well as coordination of training needs of all licensees to ensure them to meet the requirement of the regulations. And under promotion, our focus is to promote and to market boxing to improve its public profile, increase its brand value, as well as coordinate premier BFA events across the country. We actually relook at how we put our objectives so that they should actually be in line with the expectations from the AG. And under governance and administration, we are looking at strengthening governance and oversight, and also to improve the administrative capacity and also stakeholder engagement framework. And when it comes to boxing development, we are looking at and protocols that we need to put in place. Licenses, training and development, licenses, training and development, and education and awareness around our regulations. And the issue of compliance and enforcement. Partnership engagements, MOUs with international functioning bodies, because we realize that we don't have a very good direct relationship with international bodies. Usually, promoters themselves are the ones that links up with international bodies. Sanctioning and rating, and also the issue of legislation, which we are looking at the issue of amendment of the Boxing Act. I know the department are into it that now send us the combat bill for our comment. Women in boxing, and also the national coverage also about health and safety and the formation of associations. The issue around women in boxing, I think we are looking at recruiting more women and those ones who are within the structure to say how best can we actually support those ones who are within the structure. The third layer is around the boxing promotion, which is market and communication strategy. The issue around boxing sponsorship and event coordination, revenue generation, and also our funding module. Around risk management, we have identified or put under our descriptions insufficient funding and lack of revenue sustainability, and the mitigation action, it would be to seek sponsorships to develop a revenue generation and correction strategy, and to revive and maintain relations with the broadcasters. The second area is key strategic positions left unfilled and identification of the new positions. And our mitigation is to review the organogram, which we will soon have reviewed that.
three in the tent pushed and attract and retain students on that. And the third area is the concerning limitations within the boxing South Africa Act and DSA not fully complying with the legislation. And we are in our mitigation there would be to lobby for the review and amendment of the Act and also take awareness across the borders. And the first one, I think we've already worked on that one. The fourth point, it would be licenses not complying or dissatisfied with SA regulations. And the mitigation is enforcement of compliance with all legislation, consultation with stakeholder awareness, and review process and procedure. And the last one, which is actually of a big concern on our side, is the issue around negative coverage of boxing. And mitigation strategy is to develop a communication and media liaison strategy, inform and educate stakeholders, and also participation, interaction, and collaboration and integration. The boxing organizational structure, we reviewed the structure because in our 2011 strategy, we sort of like put a lot in the structure without actually linking that with funding. And then that was creating a problem for us with the AG. So we have actually now reviewed the structure to the structure that we have at present. And the vacant position at the moment is the position of the director operations and also technical assistant and the position of a driver. And all other positions are fulfilled with the other two positions with suspension still going on, which is the CEO and also the CFO. And that is the part on the strategic plan. And now I'm moving to the annual performance plan. With sub-programs where we have identified first the issue around governance and administration and looking at the board and also looking at the office and CEOs and corporate services and last our stakeholder mobilization and lobbying. With the board, meetings of the board health and its subcommittees and also implementation of board resolution. And we were forced last year as our first year to even end up having more than 4 to 5 meetings because of the challenges we are faced with and the fact that we have to deal with a lot of issues within boxing. The CEO report on management of the entity and also the implementation of the board resolution. In absence of that, we actually have indicated last time that with Mr. Magas seconded in our office and is the one who is actually handling that one. And stakeholder mobilization, which then would include boxing mobilization events and the strategic stakeholder network. And that which the networks that initially indicated, we have already started with those networks. And forward to that, between January and March, we travel throughout the country and making sure that all board members are actually involved in stakeholder discussions with stakeholders in different provinces. And in understanding also what are their challenges, and on our side also raising our challenges with some of the areas. But also we're also talking about the issue of arbitration in those workshops. But we would actually have realized that it's very much important for us to have frequent border participation with our licenses. The second sub-program is boxing development, which is actually focusing on licenses, training and development, license sanctioning and ratings and the regulations, compliance and also enforcement. On licensing, I think it's one of the things that now of late we are starting to debate, the issue of increasing the number of registered licenses. and whether it is the number. I know we do the numbers because of we want to also increase our revenue, but the issue is also the challenge, especially when it comes to promoters. To then say, are all promoters and actually even the boxers, are all of them registered and having events every year or not, or they're just registering to be in the database? And it's one of the things that we need to review on that one. Some themed events or tournaments as per set status, and also the issue of rating conducted by DSA. And we have a very good rating committee now, which is doing quite a good job and placing those ratings on our website. The second area is licenses, training and development, and it's actually one of the issues that I indicated earlier, that we are looking at training programs for all our licenses, and making sure that, you know, we are all on the same page and understanding where we want to be and where we are now. But also, one of the challenges we have realized is the fact that most of the bosses, they are not aware of their rights. And if they are aware, I think sometimes they give their rights away. We start actually realizing that they are also putting us as boxing South Africa in a very difficult position. Because when they're not paid by promoters, they then come into us. Once they do, they have made an arrangement with some of their promoters or managers. Regulations, compliance and enforcement, licenses and boxing facilities dispersed across the country. Check level of compliance, and this one is a big challenge, especially in disadvantaged communities, because in disadvantaged communities we still find that you have very little facilities that are of standard or possibly that actually have those facilities. When you find that some trainers are still training some of their boxers within their garage and within, you know, environments that are not up to standard, and this is one of the things that I think we need to negotiate with local government in providing the right facilities and training disadvantaged communities. Ensure licenses compliance with the regulations. The third area is boxing promotion, which then focuses more on revenue generation, marketing and branding, event coordination, and also communication. The issue of lobbying television rights with at least one broadcaster. We had a meeting with SUS Supersport, and she was there. And we are looking at working with them moving forward. They indicated their challenges because of their KPG. And also we agreed with them that we might look at an issue of a magazine program to do some joint programs with them, which they agreed on. The SABC issue is still dealing a bit, but they indicated that possibly in 2 months' time we might actually start moving. But unfortunately, it's one of those things that are also still affected by a legal issue. Develop marketing and branding strategy, and also secure sponsorship for boxing sport. On communication, we want to develop a communication strategy to popularize boxing program, and also to identify and promote national boxing premier event. And this one, the last one, I think is the one that we thought we would do with TBL, and unfortunately it didn't work to assist us on that one. And that's our last slide, and I want to thank you for the presentation and the question for the questions and prayers.
Honorable members, thank you for the presentation. Now at the time for engagement, honorable members, Boxing South Africa strategy and program. In front of you, I'm coming to work. Okay. Anything, key questions, clarification, Honorable Rahom, Honorable Banana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the points that I made earlier, I want to restate the same point, because for me, really, the governance issues, you need to sort out those things. Starting from creating the independence from the department, for me, is crucial. The second one is, as a board, we need to ensure that you do oversight over the administration. So if the board is going to be the one that runs PSA and then the board, there is going to be problems of governance. So for me, those things need to be sorted out. The other area is the issues around stabilizing issues around the licensees. You call them licensees. It means you are promoters and all of those. We need to ensure that besides the problems that we have with the Act and what the regulations say, but we need to ensure that we can sterilize that area. I hope you will succeed around getting a sponsor, you know, TV coverage. Because at the moment we are really disadvantaged, our boxers, because they are forced to go and fight outside because of lack of sponsors. So for me, really, those are the key issues, which if we are not going to sort them out very soon, we'll end up on the red in terms of the Auditor General. Thank you very much. As noted by the Chair, we can follow suit with our comments or questions. Honorable Manana.
Thank you, Madam. Some of these answers you got, that after the question has been raised and before we start, you start the presentation, since you have just mentioned the challenges, one of them is that one of the protesting rights. So I don't want to take some of them because I've been covered on them. My question is that under current challenges for the top leadership of Boxing South Africa is under suspension. It may require more than a meeting of 4 times a year as in the size by the board. How will the board ensure that it provides proper leadership whilst also not meddling with administration function of the executive members? So in boxing, we also want to see this transformation, since after the SADC is no more of protecting the boxing, we're not seeing it at all, because there are other communities that they don't even watch the Super Sport while they play, just protesting the Super Sport things.
Thank you, Honorable Web Acting Chairperson. Yes, I'd like to know the vacancies as critical positions and also taking in note the suspension of also the critical positions. When will that evolve? And how is Boxing going to address the issues of realigning its organizational structure to ensure that it enables its full mandate? And then also what steps are going to be taken against non-compliance of licensing imposed legislation, taking note you've mentioned that many of these people are still operating in garages. How will you be assisting, because many boxes come out of these garages, and the regulation will then be, we don't want you to break the rules, but how would you be able to assist them? Then also, what are plans to implement recommendations of the AG related to ensuring compliance and regulations? Thank you.
Honorable Malachi.
Thanks, Chair. My question is, I just want to find out, in terms of what has been identified in the documentation with regards to the plans to encourage more women to participate in boxing, to establish what are some of the tangible interventions that PSA has instituted or will be instituting to achieve this goal, and if there's a unit that will be set up to help drive this, and whether there are some of the resources that have been allocated to that. And secondly, on the issue of the independence of boxing South Africa, slightly touched by Honorable Rahoma, that, and this correlates perhaps to the initial question I asked about the timelines with regards to the move for the offices, but further more related to the issue of now you have the staff of boxing South Africa has alluded that it has been, and I don't want to use my job because I don't think that I have, but working together in tandem with the units of the department to maximize this, as whether that, you know, in its draft for independence, whether that would perhaps be a difficult terrain, you know, to do. And secondly, that, you know, the gap of human resources at the most highest level has, you know, largely been responsible for some of the biggest problems that have occurred in here. And that with regards to the filling of these two critical posts, once all the legal processes and other ongoing things have been finalized, that it would perhaps be more useful to boxing South Africa to the board in holding those accountable, those positions, to have a very clear timeline of, you know, performance agreements that that are rolling over time, so that we do not have a situation where we do not act as and when incidents occur, rather than wait for prolonged court processes. And I'm not by any chance advocating that we ignore what the basic conditions of employment actually stipulate, but to be proactive in the sense of making that space that should there be substandard or level of performance or deviation from the bad performance, there'll be room for the board to act as would be required by legislation without seeming to be interfering. Because I think the board will play a key role in fulfilling that oversight role, that we don't have to be in a situation where 2 years later we've got, you know, we are dealing with the results of the actions of those that are still, you know, in fact with the department. And lastly, to just take in terms of, I mean, I get that I'm fully abreast with regards to the debate and the obstacles with regard to the broadcasting issue, but to get the sense from boxing South Africa, like, that in the event that all these legal issues are resorted, what would be the ideal situation for boxing South Africa in terms of the value proposition of this sport to either be back on the public broadcasters screens or pursuing pay TV per channel? What would be the best scenario for boxing South Africa with regards to the future of broadcasting rights? And I'm not by any instance inferring that we should get into the merits of the case, this is unrelated to the case, but, you know, in the event that those are sorted and, you know, those difficulties are removed, what would boxing South Africa's preference with regards to the future of boxing of broadcasting rights be? Thanks, sir.
The last one is Honorable Bush.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's a personal session. You indicated, ma'am, that you are trying your level best to create a synergy between professional coaching and amateur coaching. I just want to ask you as how your relationship with Sanabo is. And then when last did you meet them? Because not so long ago we had them here, and so many issues that they raised. And then also indicated that you want to enforce compliance of the key issues of the Act, such as rules and regulations. But I remember earlier on you indicated that there are regulations that are inconsistent with the Act. And in trying to get that from you, you said that the department is actually working on a bill that is going to address that. And I'm not sure of this bill, because this bill you were told about this a long time ago, and it's not coming. And I want to believe that for as long as you still have this inconsistency, you're going to have, you know, your progress recurring and ending. You'll also see a lot of defiance, like you indicated that, a lot of corpus. So I'm not sure how soon you can work on this thing so that it's once and for all addressed. Thank you, sir.
So, Chairperson, you can share the answers.
Okay, thank you. The issue raised with the first one is about the issue of instability in leadership within management, and how would the board make sure that there is stability within the office. And the issue that I raised about numbers of meetings that we have to have with the board, we the meeting that is actually now, the first meeting, we actually did as a special board meeting. And obviously we have already realized that we might actually be forced again to have more meetings because of issues that we have to deal with. We would review as time goes on, and the fact that in the board meeting we agreed that the push to that applicant should be advertised immediately. And I think as soon as we have appointed those senior managers, we'll try and monitor whether we should actually still continue being a little bit hands-on, or possibly we should actually start allowing the office to continue working. Your second question was about those vacancies. One of the things that we didn't have in the board was a subcommittee on human resource and finance, and we realized that those are the two areas that we are having a problem. We have now appointed a board subcommittee to focus on human resource and finance, and that committee is going to monitor and make sure that those vacancies are advertised as soon as possible. The issue of facilities within special disadvantaged communities and how we could assist. On our side, the assistance that we could give is actually to negotiate with municipalities and provincial government in ensuring that wherever they build facilities, they should actually cover those areas. But also in one of our engagements that we want to have with our licensees, especially the trainers, is also to understand what are the real challenges, so that in future when we communicate with the municipalities, we are very clear about what type of facilities they want and where exactly. Because sometimes you find that where there are facilities, that it's not where there are more activities within Boston. So we need to actually possibly just do more of a little bit of research and consultation with the trainers, and make sure that in future when we commit, because usually we communicate with municipalities, there are no facilities, but I think now we need to be specific to say in which areas and what type of facilities. The issue around the AG recommendations, we are actually trying to comply with those recommendations, and that's the reason why we reviewed even the strategy. And one of the areas was the issue of provincial managers, which we are also now going to advertise those posts. We had a workshop with all provincial managers. We actually discussed the issue of the outcome of the recommendations of the AG. So we are going to review also those contracts. So we are trying to implement areas where we can, and there are those that actually are short-term that we can actually correct immediately, and there are those possibly that could actually take a little bit longer, but we are working on all those areas. The issue around women in boxing, whether we have a tangible plan and also whether there are resources, and I think Chairperson, I forgot to inform you actually when I was presenting on the fact that we had put up a plan for women to recruit more women, and to support women within boxing. And we put a proposal to Lottery for funding, and Lottery have now replied that they are going to fund a program on women in boxing. So to answer your question, yes, there is a plan, and now we do have resources. Mr. Mali went to sign a contract with Lottery when it, in order to cover a program on women in boxing. The independence of BSA and the issue about whether staff members are being absorbed in the department or not. In our plan, it was not an issue of absorbing. It was an issue of support supporting staff members within the within BSA. One of the things that we had identified within BSA staff is the the issue around skills, and we realized that some of them, even if they were holding some positions, they were still lacking in certain areas and skills. We then put some of them for training within the department, but then we thought through this relocation, we would actually be able to then assist them on job training, and that's the reason why we are actually partnering them with the department, thinking that in the long term, when we move out, they would be ready to actually do what they're supposed to do in the correct way. The issue around the push that needs to be the management positions and their performance agreements, I totally agree with you on that one, that we need to make sure now that those performance agreements are very clear and they're actually being evaluated on a yearly basis, and where possibly those managers aren't performing well, we then have possibly to take action against those ones. And it's one of the things that we have requested now the office through Mr. Mike, that in the new push that we are going to advertise now, we have to make sure that all procedures now are followed and there are clear performance agreements and understanding exactly what is expected from them. The issue around broadcasting, our clear understanding from the Java is that our preference is actually public broadcaster. The reason why we prefer public broadcaster is because of most of people within disadvantaged communities can actually access that one, unlike KTV, wherein most of them they cannot actually have an opportunity to watch some of those files. So our best Tumiena option, it would be SABC. We are planning to have a meeting with ETV, but obviously ETV sports programs are not as broad as it is with SABC. But we are trying to look at whether they could actually cover some of our events wherein possibly SABC and SuperSport won't be able to cover those events, and also have a magazine program. So what we are looking at is that wherever we have an opportunity, our first preference is SABC, and then the other two channels, wherever we could slot some programs, we would be happy to do that. The synergy with the Sanabo, one of the things that we discuss in the board now is that we haven't met with Sanabo as board to board, but I had meetings with the president of Sanabo and myself, and we actually dealt with a lot of things. Even when we were applying for funding to Lottery, we actually worked together because we wanted to make sure that our application don't cross over our activities. But the board now requested that we should actually have a meeting between ourselves and the full board and actually their own executives. So we would actually do that. But on day-to-day, whenever there are issues that need our attention, I always have a direct communication with the president, and he does that also if there are any other issues that you want to clarify with us. Inconsistency in the Act and the regulations and the issue around the combat bill. Yes, I agree with you. There was a time where we said the combat, we would be working on the combat bill, and for a while it was a little bit quiet, and I take it to that possibly the department that we're still working on the document. but week before last, if not last week, I then received a revised document from the department, and they told us that they are now moving there. They will be looking for comments, and then from there, I think they will take the necessary steps to put it forward. So I take it that they are working on it, because most of our challenges now with promoters are around regulations and the fact that they are using now the act for them not to comply with the regulations. And I think there is an urgent need for the bill to be speed up.
Okay. Well, I see Honorable Music.
No, thank you, Chairperson. This is just a follow-up. You as a board, what would be your role in that campaign? Because rather it sounds like you've got nothing to do with it.
Our role is to have input on areas that we think of challenge with the present act and regulations. And I think that role, it would be equally be the same role to all other combat force, like I think it's karate and a whole lot of other sports. So our role actually is more of giving input. The driver of the bill is the department.
All right. So, members, can we...
through the chair, maybe the chair must do the honor of sending the delegation from BSA over to the chair.
I'm hoping that I've dedicated to my work, but let's take this opportunity to thank you, Boxing South Africa. We know and we've seen things are not going well, but with 2 months that we are a new board, we do see actions that you are taking, but we do see that you are struggling, especially if we are not yet finalizing some legislation. You cannot achieve anything. So, as DG was here last Tuesday presenting the present legislation that they've taken to the cabinet, we're hoping that yours are also going to be recognized and prioritized, because clearly we have a crisis in the boxing South Africa. And as you're saying, sometimes they use technical things, like if the regulation, if whatever, and as you're saying that they are getting there, but the only solution is that when we're doing our oversight, we need to talk with our department to ask a cabinet to prioritize some of their bills, that it's not only you who are supposed to have or amend some bills. But with the responses that you have given us, we're hoping for the best, especially we've taken your time bombarding you about some questions. Those questions are very relevant to the department and the committee, that we must be on par, because sometimes you can respond without information. Information is the power. So you have empowered us. Please keep up the good work for the nation, and we're hoping that you will be getting there before the end of the term. We're here for 5 years. We'll be watching you, assisting and questioning if things are not going well. Thank you so much. Okay. Honourable members, our agenda now, we're going to go to minutes. We've got a couple of minutes that we need to adopt. I'll ask my whip to do so.
Honorable members, the list that we say the March, 17 March, and then come followed with 24 March, and then 25th March, and then the 23rd. In that order. Page 1. The list that we said, the 17 March, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. It's a quarter. Yeah, but he's got a quarter. We've got a quarter. Yeah, we do have a quarter. Yeah, it's a quarter.
What do you think?
No, it's a Korah. I don't want some bullying and locate it because it will create problems. We adopted the English Korah. What's your problem? Okay. Okay, so it's a Korah. So, do we have a problem with the minute of the 17th, can we then someone move for the adoption? Honorable Adams moves.
Who is the seconder?
Honorable Mbusi seconded. The minute of the 17th, they have been moved and adopted. 24th March, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Any corrections? You want me to start again? Yes.
Let me just give an example. Like today, I've read an issue about Mpumalanga abortion. What they talk about the 9.6 days of no problem besides the exception. I've read it that on the 17th, when they say the Sanabosh. Sanabosh.
17 March. Are you fine? It's 24, yeah. You want me to start again with the minutes of the 24th? And fourth March. Yeah. Yeah. Just 1 second. No. Just 1 second. I'm. Kushne, can you assist us? The 17th March. Is it not supposed to be April? When we get with the or is the quota okay? Okay, so we have adopted the 17th March. So the 24th March, Saru, I'm going to do pages. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Are there corrections? If not, can we have a... Okay.
I think he should skip some of the concern that I have that day on some of written issue of this of universities. I've written issue of universities that there is these racist things, and I think I've mentioned some of the universities that those who are heading position is only life. I don't know if
I just want to respond to that comment by saying that three, what we try to do with this minute in particular, because the meeting was so long and detailed, is that issues that related to a specific issue around racism, whether it's in management, whether it's with universities, or whether it's in communities, address it as a broad issue, number one. But secondly, I don't think from our side we captured succinctly the input that the member made when it comes to that specific issue to be able to get to the bottom of what the issue is. But I would want to believe that as it reflects here, and you'll see that in this minute, there's no specific mention of the member who raised a concern. Yes, if we can look at this particular issue. So I wonder if the member would prefer that we have a specific input when it comes to that, or we leave it as it is. All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so that is fine. Okay. Can we have someone move it? Honorable Adams?
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. If I understand correctly, Honorable Manara would like to be mentioned, not named, but it's been mentioned in there. We can't capture everything, but I think it is something specific, if I understand correctly, that it's mentioned here. Thank you.
Okay, so you just add the input that there are also problems with the universities ranking. Yeah, just broadly like that. And then with that amendment, can someone move for the adoption of the minute of the 24? Honorable Manana?
I adopt the minute with the amendment. Thank you.
Any second for the adoption of the minute? Honorable Abraham?
Thank you.
Second. Okay. And then we go to the 25th March, it was the issue of nominations. Can we go page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6? Are we satisfied that we captured the people that were nominated? Honorable Manan?
I'm 100% satisfied with this one. Thank you.
Can we then move for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Malachi moves. Any second? Honorable Musi second. Honorable Musi seconded. No, it's fine. you will move me, but I understand. Okay. Let's go to 21st April. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12. Any study sitting question?
Yeah.
Honorable Mbushi? Honorable Mbushi. Honorable Mbushi, yes.
No, I'm not sure.
Question
of the session. I'm confused because I'm used to you chairing certain meetings. So. No, I'm asking. I'm not. I see here under me there is apology, and then there's a stroke. There is absent, and then I'm not sure whether I had an apology or I was absent. Because as far as I'm concerned, it was an apology. So there's a clarity that I'm seeking. This could be adopted.
It's an apology. It's an apology. Just that we, like the chair did try to explain to you, we requested that it should be an apology. Because myself, I knew, the chair knew, and even the secret knew that you were attending classes. So we felt that it should be recorded as an apology. So we can correct that it's an apology. Are we agreed, members?
Yes.
Yeah, because it should not happen like that, because the chair would prefer that we should have written apologies. But what happened is that myself, the chair, and the secretary knew that the member had attended the classes. But we didn't formally record it. And that is why I'm mentioning it, because it should not be a precedent. We need to just ensure that we record it as an apology. Honorable Mush.
No, I just want to clarify it, because it's like the chair has indicated this morning. I spoke to the administrator, and then she said that she handed it over to the secretary of the committee at 8:20, and you know, some minutes before they need to go start. So it should actually be somewhere else and clearly written as an apology.
Very fine. For now, I just say let's put it as an apology. Do you want to comment? Okay. So can we agree to take it as an apology? Honorable Abraham? Okay. We agree, right? That we record it as an apology. Okay. So can someone move for that, please?
I just want to say, on page 12, I do understand what you mean, but later in the
end,
on page 12, concerns, number 2. If you read it from the top, it says false and false images of violence could be published electronically. It should be seriously added that. Otherwise, if you read it in a couple of years, it would sound like false images of violence could be published electronically. Where it should change that.
Can you read that?
Okay, let me start from the top. Xenophobic violence in the Durban area could harm the city's process to win the bid, and it would be prudent to issue a media statement that social vision was there, and to dispel the myth that South Africa was only for persons born in South Africa. And number 2, false images of violence should be published electronically. What I'm saying is add that false images could be published electronically. Because it was said it shouldn't be published, but the sound of the sounds like it came then.
Also, you are saying you must not do that, that false images of violence could be published electronically. Okay. Agreed? Okay. So,
can we then move? Someone move for the adoption of the minutes?
I would like to move the adoption of the minutes with the amendment.
Okay, Honorable Domo moves the adoption of the minutes with the amendment. Any seconder? Honorable Manana seconds.
With that,
we have adopted all the minutes. But now, what is going to happen now? Do you want to just brief us as what is going to happen? Because, as you know, we are supposed to end up raising our own report. Do you want to just come in so that for the benefit of all members, that they should have a sense of what is going to happen?
Thank you, Woodpen. Thank you to the chairperson and honorable members. First, let me start by commending members for being able to, you know, deal with the two meetings of the two entities in one meeting and one slot. I think it's commendable, given the times and the pressure that we always face. So it is possible that at some stages we could have meetings of two entities where possible. Thank you for that. Next week we're meeting basketball, and on the same day we're having hopefully the budget report of recommendations. But the process is before the budget process could start, the report should go to the House Chair. So that is the process that is going to unfold by the end of this week. And so the deliberations and adoption of that report will take place as programmed on the 12th of May here by the committee. Members,
so it won't be on the 5th?
No, it won't be on the 5th. It's just deliberations, because after that there are amendments that do have to be made.
Okay. In terms of protocol, just be sure that
No, I think I recall that we requested for the 6th of May that we make the recommendations of the report, because on the Wednesday, because on the very same Wednesday we had intended to deal with the outstanding matters of the interviews and scheduling for that concern. So we wanted to have a separate meeting on the 6th. Yes, because we spoke about it.
Not the Tuesday.
It would be the meeting of basketball. To go through the report, yes.
So we meet today, Wednesday. You hear me, Martin?
That's true. Also on that one is that the budget vote debate will take place on the 20th of May. To the venues yet to be confirmed.
It's confirmed in terms of the meeting.
Okay. And so we are also scheduled to work on the strat plan of the committee, which is also going to be discussed on the meeting of the 5th, or of the 6th. Yes. The intention there is that members would understand that at this present moment, we only have a budget allocation of 25,000 for the rest of the year. So what is expected of us is that we start from a zero-based budget to inform how our year is going to be looking like, what our activities are, so on. So that start plan will be presented to members on the 6th, so that we can have input to see what are the areas of priorities that members would like us to attend to, and then prioritize so that we can make a substantiated recommendation towards getting budget allocated. And that's how the program looks for the remainder of
the year, sorry, for the remainder of the month. I first meeting with basketball. The following week on the 11th, we're meeting the EPG. And then after the EPG, would be the meeting with Tennessee on the 2nd of, Tennessee on the 2nd of June. Lotteries, yeah. Lotteries the week following the EPG. It's on the 17th of May. So this month, this coming month, yeah, this coming month is basketball. It's, yes, I'll take the program as well. Yeah, thanks.
I was just saying the report of the committee. Once you are through, just ensure that the chair is aware so that the chair is not called by the house chair that I've got the report and then the chair has not seen it. Just ensure the secretary, once he goes there, it must go to the chair. And then you are saying we'll consider it on the 6th. Okay. All right. Are we chair members, man?
For consideration, will be on the 12th. And next week, it's just the discussion, deliberations, as to make
okay. Can I then read this letter? The invitation to the chair. Signing of agreements on transformation and the release of the second report of the Eminent Persons Group, EPG, on transformation in sport. Kindly be addressed to the chairperson. Kindly be advised at the signing ceremony of the memoranda of understanding between the minister and the five pilot codes, as well as the announcement of the EPG report on transformation in sport annual barometer, which was postponed previously as being rescheduled for 05 May 2015. Right? You are cordially invited to attend the session scheduled as follows. Date 05 May 2015. Time 10 hours to 16 hours. The venue is Sasoko Auditorium. And then dress code is formal. Business so formal. Please confirm your availability and attendance with NS Mojabing Kumalo. Yeah. So the chair made me to read this because it has got implications firstly in terms of the meeting of the 5th. And secondly, that the budget, because he's invited as the chair of the committee. Because this meeting is in outing, it means that we must release the chair with the budget. Can we agree that the chair can go, and then for the purposes of the meeting next week, we will then have to ensure that we formally elect the chair. Yeah, because
we do it formally, because it is not that the chair is just going there. Can you agree with that? Okay.
Let me just check members. Members? Members, you are here, no? Because we've been waiting for the signing, the actual signing, for that book. This thing of federations, we not knowing what are their commitments and we want to create the transformation and so on and so forth. So at least once they are signed and they have listed the next barometer, then it becomes useful for ourselves. Because we can even begin measuring all the various particularly the five, you know, you side, that is why we expect you to perform.
Thank you, Honorable Ralokom. I do appreciate this invitation, but
have the circular that they sent to assist chaplains. They were saying through this 25,000, if we are invited to
by the department
to a signing, to a ceremony with this little budget, they cannot approve. And like last week you did hear me telling the DG, but the DG was saying that they can look and take care. So I'm sure that, I'm not sure the WIP is right, but there is a memo from the house chairperson that if we are invited in ceremonies, but in some ceremonies you do have a role to play. Like I'm sure when they are saying you must confirm, I've been in the some hours that I was given a task, I was shooting there, was up and down, up and down. So I'm saying that with the caution of the memo, the office will check what do we do about this.
Maybe check with the department.
With the department, but also if we're granted a permission to have a permit, and then maybe we need an application and approval, irrespective that maybe the department is going to take the course, but the approval that it's a committee day and we are invited. So I'm saying that let's look on all those also not taking for granted that this thing is going to happen. Let's leave it to the office.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So the meeting is adjourned.